Welcome to New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, where we envision to build a biblical community of loving believers, which have a personal relationship with God and each other, modeling the pattern of lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Join us now as we prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive the Word of God from the man of God, Senior Pastor Reverend Nathaniel Wood.
On this first Sunday of the year 2026, when we pause to look back over the year of 2025, how many of us are willing to admit that we had done some dumb things, said some awful words, went to some bad places we had no business going, established or maintained some ungodly relationships that we knew that we should have ended. Maybe we made some awful decisions that now on this first Sunday in 2026, we now regret. Reverend Webb, you know what I discovered and learned as a result of my own faults and failures? I have discovered and learned that the best thing that I can do when I do something, say something, or run into failure is to make the decision to end the episode and decide to look for a new start. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. If we don't look for a new start, if we try to carry it all with us, our lives will become too much to handle. You and I cannot let any of the mistakes and failures of 2025 keep us from becoming what God wants us to be in 2026. And on this first Sunday of the new year, there is a reason that you and I are still alive.
Well, that's right.
There is a reason that you and I survived all of the hardships and failures that took place in 2025. Let me suggest to you, it is no accident that you and I are here today. You and I are still here because God has a plan for your life and mine for this year of 2026. Just think about it. Even after all of the times that we failed to honor God in our living, failed to obey his commands, failed to live up to what we promised him, he still showed us mercy and has allowed us to live to see a new year. He, in essence, has given or extended to us the opportunity to start afresh. He has given us the chance for a new beginning. And I don't know about you, but I thank God for giving me the chance for a new start. Anybody in here happy that God gave you a new start? Today I want to introduce you to a biblical personality named Simon Peter, who needed a new start, needed restoration after failing to keep his promise to Jesus the Christ. If you will, let me share with you a brief snapshot of Peter's life story. When Jesus was made flesh and physically present on the earth, he chose 12 men as his special disciples or students. Out of the 12, he then chose 3, which were called the inner circle. These 3 he truly invested himself in and provided them with spiritual experiences that the others did not have. Simon Peter was in this circle. Matter of fact, Jesus went even further with Peter and told him that he would be the leader amongst the 12 and would be crucial in the establishment of the church. One day Jesus sat down and told Peter and the other disciples about the events that were about to take place concerning his capture and his arrest. In Mark chapter 14, verses 27 through 30, Jesus said to them, "When I am arrested, you will all fall away." Peter response to Jesus' words was, "Even if all fall away," talking about the other guys, "I will not." In other words, Peter declares to Jesus and before the other disciples, "It ain't gonna be me, Lord. These guys might not have your back, but I do. Matter of fact, even if they take you to jail, Jesus, they'll have to take me too." But Jesus responded to Peter's bold declaration by saying to him, "Boy, before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me 3 times. But the Bible tells us, according to Mark 14:31, that Peter insisted emphatically that even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I will never disown you." Now, all of us who have tried to live a Christian life can certainly identify with Peter. Come on now, snatch your halo off. Haven't we promised the Lord that we were going to do certain things? Haven't we promised to live for him daily, read our Bibles, pray without ceasing, and to be regular in our worship, work, and witness for him. We've all have made bold promises to our Lord. I believe that Peter was genuinely sincere about what he felt was his level of commitment to Jesus. I think that Peter really thought and believed in his heart and mind that he would never disown Jesus. But Peter soon discovered that it is easier to speak what you will never do when you are not in the situation versus when you are staring the situation in the face. Well, to Peter's credit, he did at first try to keep what he had publicly confessed in regards to his commitment to protect Jesus. How? Well, in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 10, the scriptures say that when Judas, the soldiers, and some of the officials from the chief priests and Pharisees showed up to arrest Jesus, that Peter, who had a sword, any of you saints got a gun or a sword with you? Don't raise your hand. You might need to use it one day. Peter, who had a sword, drew the sword and struck the high priest's servant named Malchus's right ear off. Jesus told Peter, put that sword away, and that he must drink of the cup that the Father has given him. And then Jesus took and healed Malchus's ear. Yes, at first, Peter broke bad, and his commitment was strong. But Jesus knew that Peter's commitment and zeal would soon weaken. We too, like Peter, have our times of strength and our times of weakness. Am I right about it? There are some areas of our lives that we may be stronger in than other areas. An area that you might be strong in may be an area of weakness for me. An area of weakness for you may be an area of strength for me. But the bottom line truth in regards to our human and spiritual lives is that we all, somebody say we all, have areas of strength and weaknesses. That is the reason why we have to be careful on how we deal with others' areas of weakness and others' areas of failure. For the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and come short of his glory. Just as Jesus knew that Peter's faith would be tried and found wanting, he knows that we too will experience moments of weakness in this thing called life. Well, after arresting Jesus, when they were taking Jesus away, the Bible teaches us that Peter followed at a distance just to see what would happen to Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, let me pause right here and say that whenever you decide to follow Jesus from a distance, you are setting yourself up for a fall. When you and I choose to follow Jesus from a distance, we allow and give room for other people and other things to come in between the Lord and us. I got a question to ask you. What or who in 2025 did you allow to get in between you and Jesus? We need to just think about that a minute. Who or what did we allow to get in between Jesus and ourselves? Well, if you find that you have been following Jesus from a distance, the message for you today is stop. Turn your neighbor and say, close the gap. Make sure that you start out this new year with nothing between you and the Savior. Somebody shout, close the gap. I'm almost through. Peter followed at a distance to see what would happen to Jesus, but instead, he found out what would happen to him and how he would truly act and behave when his life was on the line. The Bible tells us that Peter tried to mingle in with the crowd as he looked on from a distance. Somebody lit a fire to keep warm, and Peter moved with the crowd over to the fire to warm himself. Now, Peter had already positioned himself to follow Jesus from a distance, but now he is trying to mingle in with the crowd. Peter soon discovered that he was hanging out with the wrong crowd. Who have you been hanging out with in 2025? Have you been hanging out with the wrong crowd? You've been hanging out with the party crowd, the reefer crowd, the alcoholic crowd, the sexual deviant crowd. Who you been hanging out with? You know what? For some of us, our lives would have been so much better and holier in 2025 if we just changed the crowd that we warmed ourselves with. For some of us, it was and still is the crowd that we hang out with that keeps our fellowship with God in pieces, keeps our lives filled with frustration, and causes us to constantly face opportunities to disown Jesus through our actions and behaviors. Peter was hanging out with the wrong crowd. And his commitment to Jesus Christ weakened. While Peter warmed himself, a young woman looked at him and recognized him as one of Jesus' disciples. She said, "This man was with him." But Peter denied it and said, "Woman, I don't know him." A little later, someone else recognized Peter and said, "You also were with him." Peter emphatically says in response, "I was not." Now, after continuing to hang with the crowd and talking, someone in the crowd picked up Peter's accent. They said, "Oh, yeah. You most certainly were with him. Your speech betrays you. You are a Galilean just like him." Then the Bible tells us in Mark 14, verse 71, that Peter began to call down curses on himself. And he swore to them, "I don't know this man you are talking about." No sooner than he got the words out his mouth, Peter heard a rooster crowing in the distance. The very thing he swore he would never do, he had done. He had denied or disowned Jesus three times, just like Jesus said he would do. And after being questioned and brought out of the high priest's quarters, Peter from a distance looked at Jesus, and Jesus turned and looked Peter in the eyes. Now knowing that he had miserably failed his Lord, Peter fell apart and went away and wept bitterly. But when Jesus looked at Peter, he did not look at him with disdain. He did not look at Peter with a look that communicated that he was going to get even with Peter for disowning him. When Jesus looked at Peter, Peter saw in Jesus' eyes the look of a compassionate Savior. Hallelujah. Peter saw in the eyes of Jesus mercy, grace, and love. Though Peter had failed him, Jesus still had a plan for Peter's life. And that is all that Peter needed to grasp. And guess what? That too is what we need to grasp on this first Sunday in 2026. And that is that God still has a plan for our lives. So after Jesus died on the cross to restore the broken relationship between God and man, and after being buried in a borrowed tomb on the third day, y'all know the story, God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. After his resurrection, according to Mark 16, verses 1 through 6, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went to the tomb with spices to anoint Jesus' body. But when it got there, The stone was rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw an angel dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And the angel told them not to be afraid. He told them that you are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene who was crucified. But guess what? He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And in verse 7 he says, but go. Tell his disciples and Peter. Oh, y'all missed that. He said, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Reverend Lucas, why make sure that Peter's told? Because of all the living disciples, Peter needed restoration. And he needed a new start. Jesus wanted to make sure that Peter knew that God still had a plan for his life. And that God was still going to use him to demonstrate his glory, his honor, and his power. And on this first Sunday of this new year, I've got some good news to tell you straight from glory. No matter what your past failures have been, your being alive today is an indication that Jesus still has a plan for your life, and that he's offering you another chance to come to him and be forgiven and restored. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm so glad that God gave me one more chance. Gave me a new year. Gave me another year to get things right with him. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I only can testify about me. I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad. But the story doesn't end right there. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. So glad that God's got a plan for my life and for your life. I'm glad that God, even when I messed up, did not write me off, did not cancel me out, did not erase my name from the book of life, but he said, I still have a plan for Nathaniel Wood's life, and I'm not going to stop working on him until my plan is complete. Say yeah.
Yeah.
Say yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I can boldly say on this first Sunday in 2026 that God has a plan for your life and my life. And you know what? Thank you, Holy Spirit. One thing that God laid on my heart was that because he is the searcher of the heart, even though we may fail him sometimes miserably, because he knows our heart. Oh, Lord. He knows that we love him in our heart. Sometimes our actions may not line up, but that's what the Holy Spirit, that's his work in us, to sanctify us, make us holy. Because he knows we love him. But he knows we are flesh too. But let me not let any of you believers, us believers, don't let me give you a loophole. Yeah, he knows we're flesh. But even though he knows we're flesh, because his spirit is in our lives, we ought to be sinning less. We're not sinless, but we should sin less. As we walk with him, as his presence is in our lives, we ought to sin less. We ought to see less sin in our lives. So if you're seeing more sin, you better check your relationship. Check your fellowship, because we ought to see his presence being manifested in our lives. Come on, stand to your feet all over the church. So glad. I'm so glad that he knows my heart. Man. Reverend Jones, sometimes I look at my life and some of the things I do, and I say, I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he's so patient with me. Can I be honest with you? Y'all know I'm a transparent preacher. You know, God has had to forgive me for the same sin over and over again. Come on, y'all. Don't look at me like there ain't an area of weakness in your life. I said, God, help me. And I have it in my mind. My heart, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to cuss no more. But then I have moments of weakness. Turn your neighbor and say, you do too. And you'll end up saying something that you have no business saying. And then you got to go right back to God and say, forgive me. That's right. Thank God for his patience. thank God that he still has a plan. He wants us to be holy, righteous. That's his desire. That's his call for us. We are a peculiar people. But you must yield yourself to the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance in your life, his power. Because how many of you know that in the flesh, if we just were flesh beings solely and did not have the Spirit, we would be capable of doing every sin. You know why? Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, he begins the work of transformation. Anybody in here can look at your life and say, I know the Spirit has worked on me. I know I'm not the same person I used to be.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.